Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome. Let's all stand. Grab a favorite gospel songs. Turn to 195 at the bottom of the page. 195. Be seated. Beautiful singing. Turn over to page 13. Page 13.
Good morning, everybody. How is everybody today? Got a little bit of a response anyway. It's good to see each and every one out this morning. We're glad that you're able to be in the house of the Lord today. It's another beautiful Lord's Day. Yes, it looks a little bit rainy, which I think everybody's praying for a little bit of rain too. So it is a beautiful day for us to come together and worship the Lord. And I hope and pray today that we truly will worship the Lord in this service today. I did hear one comment made today, and that was, I'm going to repeat it, is if somebody gets saved today, and we shouldn't say if, we should be saying when they get saved, all the Tennessee fans have got to jump and holler as much as they did last night. I said, well, I didn't jump and I didn't holler, but I was glad they won, but that's all past. That's worldly stuff. We are to be worshiping the Lord today, and I'm thankful for the opportunity that we have today to truly worship God. But there is an important lesson in that, that we should be willing to worship. We should be as fired up over the Lord as anything there is in this world today. We should be willing to just really glorify Him in this day is what we should be doing today. And let's just be prayerful that we all will be willing. And that's a big thing right there, is being willing to just really serve the Lord today in this service. And if it calls for us speaking out, let's speak out. If it calls for us just to stand up for the Lord, we should stand up. And if it's time for us just to do for God, let's just do. It's what we need to do in this service today. And I hope we'll be about the Lord's business in this service today. And thankful for the good singing. Thankful to have the choir back behind us again today. Glad that they're back here. We just pray that it'll all glorify God today in this service. We're going to move right along with our service today. And we're going to allow Brother Sam to get started with the kids in our children's church at this time.
All right. How's everybody? Yeah? Good? Well, I like the enthusiasm. That's okay. Kind of overcast, cloudy, kind of makes us kind of nappy, sleepy, don't it? It does. No response? Nothing? All right. Well, let me ask you something. Who can tell me what a priority is? Y'all heard of priority? You know? Well, in short, it's what's important, okay? Do y'all have things that are important to you? What's something important to you, Zoe? Your dog? Okay, I'll take that. What about you? Your what? Your bracelet business. Okay, I didn't know we had a person up here, but I'll take that. What about over here? Huh? That's okay. Think on it. Anybody else? Ben? Anything? What's important to you? Are you in any sports? Is that important to you? Yeah, you like it. Okay, I see you raising your hand. What's important to you? Chip, is that your cat? Your dog, okay. It's a dog. Very good. Is he a handsome dog?
I said a dog.
A doll. Is it a doll that looks like a dog? I'm just messing with you. Your doll. What's your doll's name? Okay. Yes. Not sure? Think about that. We all have things that are important to us, right? Maybe more than one thing. Okay. And as we grow older, and you'll understand this as adults, you'll have a whole list of priorities. And that'll change. You know, it'll change from time to time. It'll change. But there's one thing that we need to have at the top. I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you're working or if you stay at home or if you've retired. But there's one thing that needs to stay at the top all the time. Okay? Jesus went to visit two friends one time. They were sisters, Martha and Mary. Okay? And Jesus stayed in the living room with Mary, and she wanted to stay there with him because he preached to her. She heard his word. And her sister went in the kitchen because she thought it was important that they have dinner. The Jews couldn't host anybody without having something to eat. Okay? And so she came back in the living room and said, Lord, will you tell my lazy sister Mary, it doesn't say lazy in the Bible, I'm just paraphrasing that, because she was mad. She said, can you tell her to come in here and help me fix lunch? But he said, Martha, he said, you're troubled about a lot of things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part. And so we need to be like Mary. You know, there's a lot of distractions that we have, but we need to be like Mary. The Lord also said in one of his sermons, I'm almost done here, I know you're sleepy. He said in one of his sermons, he talked about, you know, don't think so much about your clothes, you know, your raiment. He said, because the flowers, look how beautiful they are, you know. And he said, don't always think about what you want to eat, what you have to eat. They're important. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. All these other things, they'll be added to you. So whatever your priorities are, and you might think about them and list them, and they're important to you. They're all important to you. But kids, don't forget that God and having a relationship with Him, being saved, is the most important thing in your life. All right, stand up and we can repeat part of this verse. Just say it after me, what I say. This is Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first. Let's try that again. Say it with your awake voices. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. Very good. I'll let you go with that. Good effort. Ain't they good? Very good.
Thank you, Brother Sam. Thanks, kids, for coming up, being a part of Children's Church. I meant to say something about this earlier, and I let it slip my mind, but I'm going to go ahead and do it now. My message last week was on being an example, and somebody brought it to my attention afterwards, and what they said was, is we talked about us being examples for the kids. Now, what I'm going to say is we've got a little group right here of this age kids, and then we've got, well, here, this bunch here, one scattered around that don't come up. Have y'all ever thought, guys, that you're the example for these guys? You are. And what I want you to understand is we want you to be an example for everybody. Whether it's, well, you can come up and take part in this with the kids, with the little ones, and be a part. Answer the questions. Help them out. Help them to speak up. Sing out for them. See, you're showing them how you worship God. And I want you to feel free to do that. And I made a point a year ago, I guess, especially, and we've kind of slacked off. I wanted the kids to know that you can make a prayer request just like anybody else. And the kids got real good about it for a while, but like us adults, we slack sometimes, and I understand that. But if you have somebody you want to be prayed for, set the example for the little ones that you have people you want to pray for. Set that example. See, you're teaching them how to do in church, just like we are setting the example for these kids. So I meant to say that earlier today. So don't ever feel that you're too big to be a part of this bunch, but don't ever feel too big that you can't sing out too with the others, or even too small. Sometimes we think we're too small to do things, or too young. But what I want the young ones to realize, you're as much a part of this church as whoever's oldest up here. Okay, I guess that's me, so... You're just as much a part, and that's what I want you to understand today. So be the example for each and every one of us today. Appreciate each and every one coming out for our service today. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer here in just a few minutes. And before I do that, let me say one other thing. Last week in our business meeting, the church voted to go back to our old way of doing collection. Now, you saw the boxes still out there, But starting today, we're going to start passing the plate once again. And it was voted that we start doing that. So today, after our prayer, we're going to go back to the way that you did it for a long time and pass the plates. So after that, we'll have, during our first song after prayer, we'll have the brethren come through and they'll pass the plates. If you've already put it in the box, that'll be fine. But just know that eventually those boxes are going to go away, is what they're going to do. And they'll pass the plate for you is what they'll do. So keep that in mind. Okay, now let me back up once again. Let's go back to the Lord in prayer. And let's get on with our worship service here today. And so we will ask you to be prayerful for this service. Pray that the Lord will bless it. I'm getting some of these sinners on my heart. I am. And I'm wanting to see some of them get saved. It's been too long that we've seen anybody saved in this church. So let's be praying for these lost ones. Before we go to the Lord in prayer, is there any prayer requests before we go any further in this service? If not, Brother Owen, who have I got reading today? Noah. Noah, if you would, please.
So the birthdays this week are Madison Vance, John Righthouse, Heather Righthouse, Kathy Williams, and the anniversaries are David and Sandy Kirkwood, and Josh and Heather Huffins. The prayer requests are to continue to pray for Brother Massey, pray for the Hollinsworth family, pray for the Hurd family and the loss of their loved ones, pray for our country, and pray for Brother Andy Knight, who is waiting for a kidney transplant, pray for our pastor and our deacons, and pray for the service today and that the lost will be saved.
Appreciate the reading of the prayer request. I'm going to, from what I understand, Brother Massey is having a hard time with the death of Sister Judy. Do continue to remember him in your prayers. Y'all know him well, and just be prayerful for him. He's hurting right now. As anybody that loses a spouse or a child, either one, it's hard on that family. Up in our area, there was a four-year-old child passed away this week due to an accident. And so you know that family's hurting. And there's families down here that are hurting, too, for the same reason. So let's just remember them in our prayers. Somebody else have a prayer request on your heart? Let's go to... help. Let's do remember this request. I'll just say this. Brother Charles has been a longtime friend of mine, and I know he has been sick, but do pray for him. Somebody else? We want to go to the Lord in prayer at this time, and we just ask everybody to pray in your own way today in this service, and just ask the Lord to come be in our midst, and ask him to help me today. Ask him to help me today that whatever the Lord has in this sermon, that it'll go where it needs to go. Anybody else? I'll call. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Let's do remember Sister Debbie in our prayers. Somebody else? If not, we'll call on one to start our prayer, but everybody pray in your own way. Brother Brad, I feel like you are to start a prayer today.
Thank you. It's nice to be able to do that again, isn't it? I'm going to try a new song. So that means I need your help. Big time. Some of you know it. Someone very important to me wrote it. She's sitting right over there. Turn to 230. 230.
We're all gonna get here. It is in fear.
Page 64. Sister Heather, you come sing us a special next, please. Page 64. Y'all want to stand? Thank you.
Good job, girls. I thought Miss Heather might like that too. Enjoyed the good singing this morning. Enjoyed the solo, the new songs. I have to say I enjoyed them too. And anybody got anything else on your heart this morning? Word of testimony or anything? I want us to be about the Lord's business. And I'll just ask you to do this today. Look around in the crowd and just look at the different ones and say, do I know that they're saved? Have I heard them say that they're saved? And just make a mental note of those people. Now, I realize there's some of these that are small and they're not yet accountable. But just kind of make you a mental note of that person. Many times when I come into this church, nobody else is around a lot of times, and I'll come in here and I'll just stop at particular places where I know y'all sit. And I pray for you. And I want us to make that mental note of where they're at and think about, I haven't heard them say that they're saved. Now, I realize that we think, well, God's going to save them. I know he will. Well, I know that too, but then again, I don't know that either. I don't know what a person will do with their opportunities. Pardon me for using this. How many of you, when you watch a football game or a basketball game or something like that, as good as Michael Jordan was in playing basketball, he practiced his shooting all the time. But I think I heard him say one time that he had missed the winning shot, I think it was almost half of the time. The shot that he was supposed to take to win a game, he missed almost half of them. So when you see somebody taking that shot, do you know they're going to make that shot? We don't, do we? And we do not know whether or not that an individual is actually going to try to get saved. We don't know that they're actually, if they are trying, if they're actually going to pray through. They're going to put their faith in the Lord. So make that mental note and you pray for them. Pray that the Lord will work on their hearts. Anybody got anything on your heart this morning? Glad to be here today. I ask you to be prayerful for us as we try to stand today, that this message will go where it needs to go today in this service. We're glad to have our visitors with us. We're thankful for you being here. And we ask you just to make yourself at home with us and just worship the Lord today is what I want you to do. Our reading lesson will be coming from the 10th chapter of the book of Acts. The 10th chapter, book of Acts today. To give a background for our reading lesson today and our thought, the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, until this time, the only one that the real preaching was going to were the Jewish people. That's where the Bible tells us that Jesus came to his own. And when he sent the 12 out, he said, don't go unto the other nations. He said, you go to the lost house of Israel, is what he said. And when that they went out, they went to them. He sent them out two by two. Even when he sent out the 70 disciples, the same thing. Now, there were Gentiles that got saved. There were people, whether it not Jews, non-Jews that got saved. If you look at the man of the Gadarenes, that was an area that was not Jewish people. Jesus went to them. There were some that got saved. But the fact of the matter is, the church at that time were going just solely unto the people in Jerusalem and around Israel. Now, the Lord was basically at this point in time, he chose Peter. And you've heard the story how that he went up on the housetop to pray, and God started giving him a vision, and the vision was of a blanket that came down from heaven, and it had all manners of beasts in it, and it was unclean beasts. And the Lord told him to kill and eat. And he said, "Not so, Lord, I have never eaten anything that's common or unclean." That's what they call those beasts. And what was in there was a pig. I'm just going off the top of my head. There was probably some raccoons, squirrels, things like that that would have been in that blanket. And again, this happened twice more. And the Lord told him all three times, "Don't call that which I have cleansed common or unclean." In the meantime, there was a man by the name of Cornelius. He was a Roman. He was a Gentile, a Greek, if you want to call him that. He was a non-Jew. But he wanted to get saved. He wanted his household to get saved. So the Lord had given him the thought of going to Peter in Joppa and bringing him back to preach to them. And when he got there, I want you to understand, the law was that they were not to keep company with non-Jews. But Peter, after seeing this vision, he knew the Lord was in it, and these men were waiting for him. And he went with them to Caesarea, where Cornelius was, him and his household. And there he was to preach to these non-Jews. And this is the way he started his sermon in verse 34. This is going to be our reading lesson. "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of person. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judah and began from Galilee after the baptism of John, which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto the witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that he is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." That's reading verse 34 through verse 43 for our reading lesson. As I said, this lesson or this message was preached by Peter after that God had told him, "Don't call anything that I have cleansed common or unclean." Now, the thought that I want to bring out today is actually from the first verse that we read. And what it says there in that verse, in verse 34, God is no respecter of person today. And I want us to get that into our minds. And this message today is not going to be about what I would call if we see somebody that is maybe not in very good clothing. This message is not about us respecting that person. It's not about looking at people, and I'll just use this as a reference. Maybe somebody that is in Arab attire, and us thinking there's no way that individual could be saved. This message is not about looking at individuals that maybe are in our minds sinners above everybody else, and us thinking that they cannot be saved. That's not the idea of this message today. Although all of those things, that is a tendency of people today, we tend to think, well, these people that are Arabs, or maybe they're Hindus, or maybe they're some other religion, we have a habit, I guess you could say, at times of saying, well, there's no way they could be saved. But let us understand, all things are possible with God. He can save individuals. You'll notice that last verse, it says, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin. That whosoever right there, it does not limit anybody. It gives an opportunity for each and every person to get saved that's in this world. Amen. It's up to them. Yes, it's up to them to come to the Lord and to cry unto him. And I'm not talking about literal crying, but it's up to them to pray or to cry out to a Savior which is able to save them and will save them if they will put their complete trust in Jesus Christ. He is that God, and it is him that said, whosoever. He includes every one of them. He is not a respecter of person today. Usually when we think of somebody having a respect of person, we may look at them in this way. Well, that person, he doesn't have the best clothes on. We may pass somebody by on the side of the road, and we may have in our minds, they're homeless. They don't need to come into the house of God. But the fact of the matter is, I'm thankful for everyone that comes into the house of God, whether they have the high-dollar suits on, or maybe they're just covered with whatever they have. Clothing-wise, that doesn't matter to me. The Lord taught me about that years ago, and I started just being glad they were there. Now, it also doesn't matter how clean they are. God will save an individual whether they've just gotten out of the bathtub or they've just been in the field so dirty and so sweaty and so smelly. God will save their soul. He does not look upon the outward appearance of an individual, is what we find in the book of Samuel. God looks at the heart. He looks at what you have inside of you. He looks at your faith and what you have inside of you. This was what Peter was preaching to Cornelius and his household at this time, that they could be saved. It didn't matter who they were. In the Jewish eyes, they were a people that truthfully, that the Jewish people almost hated them to a certain extent. They were not Jewish people. They were of other nations. They were unclean in their minds. But the Bible tells us when Peter gave witness of the actions that went on here in Caesarea, it says in the 15th chapter, now therefore, he says in the 8th verse, and God which knoweth the hearts bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, he says, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Every one of us here today that has been saved by the grace of God, we got saved the very same way. Brother Stewart got saved the same way I did. He was older than I was when he got saved. Some of you were younger than I was, but you got saved just like I did. Some of you may have waited a long time. You may have went and sought the Lord just one time and got saved. But the fact of the matter, it comes down to one thing, that faith that is there. And what Peter said, and put no difference between them. Today, I want you to see that there is no difference between you and me. I want you to understand today, there's no difference between the people in the back of the church and the people in the front of the church. All will have to trust in the Lord today, the same as Peter did, the same as Abraham did, the same as I did, or even Brother Brad or Sister Ruth, whoever you may look at here today and see them today in your presence and them telling you that they were saved by the grace of God. They got saved by faith. Amen. And that's the way that you will have to be saved today also. There is a reason God sees you in this way, having faith at this time today. I want you to realize today that God sees each and every one of us, and He is not a respecter of person in that He chooses one over another without a reason. The Bible tells us the very first ones, and I think this is the first ones that we have record of, and probably was the first ones to come before the Lord seeking salvation, and they were the brothers and the sons of Adam and Eve. Cain and Abel is what we see here their names called. And what the Bible says, when they came, there came a time in which that they would come to the Lord with their offering unto the Lord. In those days, what they had seen as an offering was to bring a lamb unto their sacrifice. They were said they knew what God had done for Adam and Eve. They knew those things and knew the proper ways. But the Bible says about Cain that he was a tiller of the ground. And what he brought for the before the Lord was the fruits of his hands. What he had done in his garden or in his fields, if you would. And he brought that before the Lord. And the Bible says that God did not have respect unto that offering. Now, what it said about Abel was that he brought the firstling of the flock. He brought a lamb of his flock is what he did. You might say, well, that's all that maybe Cain had. And because that was what he had, that's what he brought. You see, there is a thing in God's law. It says, if you do not have something that you give up, then you can purchase one. And you can bring a substitute for that. But Cain didn't do that. He didn't try to get a firstling of the flock that was there. No doubt his father had a flock. No doubt there was others around there that he could have picked from, and what we'll say is trade for them. He could have traded that grain or those fruits that he brought. But it said about Abel that he brought that firstling of the flock, and the Bible said, and God had respect unto that offering. Amen. Now, what he did at that moment in time was showed him, I'm looking for something that comes from the heart. Cain just brought what he had. I don't know if it was the very best of the crop. I don't know what he brought. But the fact of the matter was, God was not pleased with his efforts in that time. You know, the very first time that I sought the Lord, God was not pleased with my effort. You know how I know that? I didn't get saved. You know what I did? I got up there and I tried to pray. I tried to seek. but I was not willing to give of my heart. I was not willing to turn everything over to Jesus. I was not willing to put my entire faith in Him. I was still holding on to Mom and Daddy, I guess. I was holding on to me. And because of that, God had not respect unto my offering. There was no faith involved, was what it was. You know what I did? Even the second time and the third time, and even for that first year of me seeking the Lord, God had not respect. Well, you'd say, well, surely God would have done something because you tried. No, it was because God wanted that faith. Remember what we read to you that Peter said? That by their faith, they had the remission of their sins, the cleansing, the taking away of that sin is what he said. Now, Abel brought that sacrifice. Now, some people would like to say, well, you had one opportunity. That's all you're going to have. But you realize in this time what God said to Cain? He said unto Cain and to verse 6 of the fourth chapter. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou dost well, shalt not you be accepted? You see, God told Cain, you can have another chance at bringing that offering. I believe God gives us opportunities to be saved all of our lives. As long as we're in this world, He gives us those opportunities to be saved. He gives us opportunities to bring to God a true offering by faith. He gives us that opportunity time and time again. Don't put it off too long, though. The reason why I'm saying that now is I believe in a such thing as deathbed salvation. I had a football coach when I was junior and senior in high school. And after I graduated from high school, that coach got cancer. And when he got so bad, he was in the hospital nearing death, and different preachers went to talk to him about his soul. And Brother Charles Allen Gentry up at North Carthage, he went and talked to him for a little while, and he left him with no change. But that night, during the night, he started talking to Jesus, and when Brother Charles Allen came in that next day to check on him and see how he was doing, the man met him with a smile. And he said, Brother Charles, I had a change last night. May not be exact words, but he said, I got a change last night. He gotten saved, and he told Brother Charles Allen what happened there in that hospital bed. He never got out of that hospital bed, by the way. Within a week's time, I went to the funeral home for him. That's deathbed salvation. Now, the reason why I say don't put it off till then is you don't have the promise of another day. You don't have the promise of another chance to pray. I want you to understand what the Bible is telling us today. God is no respecter of person. If you'll remember when John the Baptist was preaching there in the wilderness, that the people came out of the city and they started saying, we need to be baptized of you. And he said unto them, bring me fruits meet for repentance. We tell you often what he was saying is, give me evidence of your salvation. We call it a testimony. Bring me those fruits that you can be baptized. Then he turned around to them and he said, don't tell me that you're Abraham's seed. What was John telling them? God is not a respecter of person. Just because you're Abraham's children, don't tell me that that's the reason why you are saved. In other words, don't tell the Lord, well, Lord, I've gone to church my entire life since I was a child, and thus I'm all right to be saved, right, for that reason. Don't tell them you're so-and-so's child. Don't tell them you're so-and-so's grandchild or great-grandchild. Your great-grandfather might have been a preacher. I don't know. It will not help you one bit with God. It don't. God is not a respecter of person. He is looking at you for you. So what about these things? In the second chapter of Romans, and if you want to turn there and read with us a little bit, I want you to see what Paul wrote to the people about God's respect of person and them being religious in their ways. What Paul told these people at Rome was, he said, 10th verse, "But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jews first, and also to the Gentiles." You see, there was people out there that were still saying, oh, the Jewish people have got the inside track. These Gentiles, they're on the outside. Well, yeah, there's been some of them got saved, but they're on the outside looking in is what they're doing. Paul's saying glory and honor is coming from these people, but he says it's also coming from the Gentiles. Oh, by the way, every one of you is a Gentile. Amen. In this name. You are. You're a Gentile. If you've not got a direct line of blood to the Jewish people, you're considered a Gentile. But he says in the 11th verse, y'all heard this verse before? "But for there is no respect of person with God." Paul repeated that very same statement again that Peter had said. Actually, it said several different times throughout the scriptures. They wanted us to realize God is not a respecter of person. He doesn't look at Brother Lance and say, oh, Brother Lance, you and your family are better than Brother so-and-so and them. He doesn't look at Brother Adam or somebody like that and say, because you are here, you're better. He doesn't even look at you better because you come to Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church. He's looking for the condition of your heart. He's looking to see whether or not your heart is willing to put the faith in. But what if you don't? Listen to what he says here. "For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law." In other words, now I realize he was talking about the Jewish law, but if you want to bring it down to a spiritual thing, he's talking about this thing too. The written word of God. That was the written word of God in the Jewish day, was the law and the prophets. And that was what he was talking about. He said if they perish without the law, they will perish with the law. He said, "And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law." In other words, this is the judge. The word of God is that judge. And it is the part that judges them that dies without that word. It doesn't matter. "For as many as..." Oh, excuse me, wrong words. He says, "For not the hearer of the laws are just before God." So many people today have it in their mind, just because I go to the church and listen to the sermon, take part in the singing, say the prayers that they say, repeat everything that is done. So many people have it in their minds. Just because of what they're doing, that's enough. Listen to what he says. "For not the hearer of the laws are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified." The doers. Okay, what is the doer of the law? What law is he talking about here? I want to go to the 10th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy in just a second. It says, "For the Lord your God is God of gods, He says, and the Lord of Lords, a great God, a mighty, a terrible, which regardeth not the person, nor taketh any reward. The first commandment, Jesus said, was to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength, is what Jesus said. What is that first commandment? Believing, loving, trusting Jesus to the saving of your soul. What did he say here? For not the hearer of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. What is he saying? A lot of people wants to say, just because I heard it, that's enough. But you got to do it. You got to be willing to put your faith, your trust in Jesus to get that salvation. You've got to be there with Jesus in order to be saved. He's not a respecter of person. Not because you are you're going to be saved, but he's going to save them which believe. That's who and what he is going to do. Let me give you one more verse from Romans 2. He said, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. There's people out there that have heard just about Jesus and about his saving grace, and that was all it took. They got saved. They trusted right then is what they did. I think I may have told this last week, and pardon me if I did, but it's coming back to mind again. I heard a testimony of a man the other day, and he said, when I was a young man, he said, we had a boy on our, I believe it was baseball team, might have been basketball, whatever it was. But he said, we invited him to go to church. He said he'd never been to a church, not even a Baptist, not any kind of church. He'd never heard the word of God before. But we asked him to go, and he went with us. And he said the preacher didn't even get a chance to get up. He said the people started singing. They started testifying. They started shouting. They started telling about Jesus. And that boy got under conviction, went to the altar, and got saved before he ever heard a sermon. Before he ever heard a sermon. Well, the people's was the sermons. Amen. Without the law? You think about that now. You got an opportunity to be saved. God is not a respecter of person. If you will humble yourself before the Lord, he will save you when that you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's all he's requiring, is your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You may think, well, I tried before and I didn't. Why do it again? Why not, is my question. Why wouldn't you try again? If you went to your class and your teacher at one time or another had told you you needed to learn this, we'll just say, let me back up, this math problem. You had a math problem, it was in front of you, and maybe you were dividing something. Let's pick something simple, somewhat simple anyway. You were dividing a problem. Maybe it was a hundred and something numbers, a number divided into, we'll say, 10,000 and something. First time you done it, you did not do it right, and the teacher said, try again. Why would you tell that teacher, no, I won't try again. I got it wrong. It's no sense in me doing it again. Why would you do that? That teacher would not look kindly on that. I don't ever remember trying to do that, but I can imagine Miss Thalia Brown, my first and second and third grade teacher, would have not looked good on that. God won't look good on it either. He is not a respecter of person. When you've got a straight A student over there that got it right the first time, that teacher said, thank you, you got it right. You got it wrong, you do it again until you get it right. And that's what God is telling you today. He's not a respecter of person. He wants you to trust completely in Him. He's not being harder on you than He was anybody else. He was not harder on me because I tried 3 years to get saved and did not. I talked to a man the other day. I think he said he went 15 years trying to get saved before he got it right. God wasn't being harder on him. He just wanted what? True faith. True faith. That's all he wanted. And that's what he wants from you. That's what he wanted from me. That's what he wanted from Sister Joan. That's what he wanted from Brother Fabian. That's what he wanted from Sister Janice. That's what he wanted from every one of us, was true faith. He's not a respecter of person. He'd be doing wrong if he required less of you and more of me. That wouldn't be true justice, would it? He's not expecting more of you than he did of me. If he did, that wouldn't be true justice, would it? God is not a respecter of person today. He just wants you to trust Him. That's what He's asking you to do today. Brother Brad, that's going to be our message today. We thank you for your attention today. Sinner friend, if you're here today and you've tried the Lord before, why wouldn't you try Him again now? It's a good time to seek the Lord before it's too late. Like I said, we don't have the promise of tomorrow. You hear us say that all the time. But it is a fact that is a fact. Trust in the Lord now. Try Him. You'll find that He's not a respecter of person, but He is a just and true God that is willing to save whosoever believeth in Him. That's my message, Brother Brad.
276 in favorite gospel songs.